Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Houston, standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
No Jeremy Branham. He left us. He's taking a three-day weekend. KB Free Class Network Friday. He's not here today. Instead, Will Kunkel is back. Jeremy and Joe here with you.
Thanks for the time, Jeremy.
Still 6 o'clock. We got a lot to get to today. We figured since Jeremy's not here, who should we talk to today? Well, it's Willie Fritz. Willie Fritz will join us at 4:50. We'll talk about the Texans. We'll get to the big NFL news, including Lamar Jackson's return last night, the Dolphins firing their GM but keeping their coach. We'll talk some Astros and players that are likely to be traded. Texans trade deadline's a couple days away, and well, LSU seems like it's on fire. Will,
what does
LSU?
Whole state, everyone's involved. And by the way, I love what you and Jeremy have working now. It's like every other Friday, y'all get off. Hey, Will, yeah. Will, you're not doing anything, right? You're a complete loser. Can you come in for 3 hours? Got you, Dad. I got y'all.
Guess what? Breaking news. Will be back next Friday too, because Jeremy's out again. He's got to travel. Fancy Jeremy's got things to do. You know, I was just being lazy.
I got a question for Jeremy.
We'll give away a pair of tickets to the Cougs game this weekend coming up here in a little bit as well. But, Will, we'll start with the game that the Texans got coming up on Sunday. Texans-Broncos, they are still, last time I checked, a 1.5-point favorite in this game. Pat Surtain is out. Nico Collins, Christian Kirk will both return. So the Texans are getting healthier, which is good. I mean, concussions are a weird one. Like, you never know how long a player is really going to be out for, but just a 1 week off for Nico Collins. But is this game, I heard last week there was a little debate going about must wins.
First of all, it's not a debate. It's whether you understand the English language or not. And that's up to Brian. That's up to Brian, whether he can get educated at an eighth grade level or not.
So we'll change the question for today. Is Sunday a make or break game for the Texans season?
Talk about word games.
Yes, word games.
So I actually had John McClain on my show, kicking it with
General.
Kunkel. Yep, the General. And we were talking about this, and he described it as the most important regular season game that they've had in maybe ever in a really, really long time. You know, obviously that Colts game at the end of 2023 was the most important one. That was do or die to get into the playoffs. That's what's called a must-win game. And this one is, like, huge. And you and I talked about it on the Swarmcast on YouTube, that if you win this game, you can now have a legitimate path to the playoffs. You lose this game, all you're doing is just throwing sand on your body, and you're gasping for air, and you can hardly breathe. And then even if you go on a little bit of a run against the Jaguars and the Titans and some other lesser teams, it's a little bit of, like, you know, fool's gold, because you can't beat good teams. Every loss you have is against a team that is metrically better than you are, or at least good in some aspects, whether it's offense or defense. Of course, the Jaguars are a bit of an exception defensively, but offensively, I should say. But this is one of those games where you can redefine your season a little bit and have legitimate hope, or it's like, golly, like, we just aren't a good team. Hopefully we can stack enough wins and the right teams lose and we can get in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think this one, to me, like, I look at it and it's more about what's happening around you for why the Texans have to win this game. Like, can you make the playoffs at 3-5?
But they don't have to.
I feel like they do, to be honest.
So you think this is a must-win game?
No, see, it's not a must-win because I do understand that you have to make the playoffs.
They really need this game.
Yeah, they need it. They need it desperately because you're looking at what's happening in front of you within the Colts, within your division. I mean, we saw a big-time injury happen in Jacksonville. That's a team that's in front of you, like Travis Hunter. I mean, it's a non-contact injury, so I know they put him on the four-week IR. But
wait, with who?
Travis Hunter.
Travis Hunter went on the IR? Yeah. I did not. What, that happened today?
I think it was, this morning he got put on there.
I did not see that.
Non-contact.
Okay, so there's going to be a little bit of a change to my guillotine lineup. Let's talk about that. Everyone loves to hear about someone's fantasy team.
But, like, I just look at the teams in front of you in terms of who's going to make the playoffs, and we'll talk about the Baltimore situation here in a couple segments, but I look at Baltimore as a team that's going to win the North. The Steelers are not going to make the playoffs, in my opinion. Like, it's ultimately going to come down to, can you pass the Chargers this season to make the playoffs? And they're at 5-3 right now, but they play the Tennessee Titans this weekend. That's an easy win. They play the Pittsburgh Steelers. They play the Jacksonville Jaguars, then the Las Vegas Raiders. Those are their next four games. So to me, when I think about this game for the Texans, it's about keeping pace with the Chargers.
It's a reality check of what we expect. Because those games you just rattled off, all very winnable. And if you lose this game, you can still win all those games. And then honestly, you're still in the playoff picture for real, mathematically. But emotionally, you know, once you get to the playoffs and you see another playoff team, you're cooked. Because you can't compete against playoff teams.
But with the Broncos, that's a playoff
game. 100%.
Now, even with Surtain out this weekend, they're in. Their defensive line is incredible. Like, that to me is what, and we're going to get to what this game comes down to in the next segment. But I just really feel like this game, if you win this game, you get back to 500, the playoffs are in your reach, which is not something any of us would have said after the first three games of the season. But they've won three of their last four. They've taken advantage of the injuries that they've had to go against within Baltimore and San Francisco. They beat Tennessee, who's awful. So you have a chance to change the narrative on your season in terms of getting back to 500, but also more importantly, maybe the offense can actually get going and it perform well 2 weeks in a row, which I'm not sure if they can, but if they're going to make the playoffs this season, they have to get going. This is a great game to prove that.
There's nothing that says the offense is going to get going 2 weeks in a row, albeit not even the consistency questions in mind, because they've had issues staying consistent, but they had two. Well, they had five quarters because they did not play a full game against the Titans. They played a good fourth quarter against the Titans, and then they put a full game together against the Ravens. But we all know that that was driven by the lack of competition. This isn't as much to me the consistency aspect, but can you do it against a good defense? Can you do it against a team that's going to get pressure? And you said we're going to get into the keys to the game a little bit later on in the show, but that's what's so important. Can the offense do it against a team that you will see come December? That's what this is all about. Where do you stack up in the NFL? The Texans can still stack wins and get 8 or 9 and be in the conversation late, but is that really the goal for this team? Is that what this Texans team set out to do in 2025, was to be in the conversation late in the year? No, that's what you want to do when you're not a very good team and you're just trying to figure things out. Like, the Carolina Panthers would love to be relevant and in the conversation. The Chicago Bears would love to be relevant and in the conversation come December.
Agreed.
That's not the goal for the Texans. The Texans' goal was to have two home games in the playoffs. Now we've had to redefine that. However, maybe we can redefine it if you beat the Broncos this weekend.
Yeah, and that's why this season it is a redefining game. Like, if you lose and the offense looks the way it did against Seattle, it's just, we know who you are.
You're exactly.
It's going to be a roller coaster. Yeah. You're going to be able to see in front of you the ups and downs of the season. You'll see what should be an up versus Jacksonville and Tennessee, but then you see, that stretch coming up after the Titans game in which you play the Bills, the Colts, the Chiefs, and you go, that's 0-3. Like you're going to be able to see it coming at you, because they're really just, outside of Jacksonville, their season is really following at this point. They're winning the games that they should win, and they're losing the games they should lose. They're not doing much of
if you're not a good team.
If you're not a good team.
Right.
Like, if you're just a 500 okay team, that's what you're doing, and that's what the Texans have been so far. So Sunday can be a big narrative changer for
you. You can put a stamp on your season, and you can start to find an identity to your team. Ideally, that's what they can do offensively in this game, because you don't create identity against the Titans and the Ravens. You just do whatever the hell you want to do, because they don't have the ability to stop you. So you can just do whatever you want. And D'Amico and I had this conversation at the podium last week, and I asked him about the identity. He said the identity was moving the ball. I did a whole video breakdown on this on Kicking It with Kunkel, being like, that's such a baloney answer, and I like D'Amico. It's just a baloney answer when you don't have an identity. The goal is to move the ball. The identity is how you achieve that goal. Now, you can't, like I said, you don't really create your identity week seven against a bad team. What you can do this week, week eight, against a good team, that's where you can really find what do you do against a good team when you have to have success. And there's going to be several moments in this game where they're going to have to convert on third down. There were moments against the 49ers where it was great that they did convert on third down, but they didn't have to. There were a couple drives, I think, where the 49ers scored and then the Texans came back and scored. I thought that was one of the biggest drives of their season because they answered. They didn't pucker up. Their butthole didn't get real tight. Nick Cayley didn't get nervous and not know what to do. They put it together and they looked good. But that was against a banged up 49ers defense. So there are some caveats in their successes. Can you do it when you have to do it against the Broncos defense that has an efficient offense that you know if you don't, they could go down and score and then put this into a two-score game.
I'm curious something that we hit on yesterday, because obviously you think back to the Sean Payton, D'Amico Ryans hires were happening at the same time. There was the weird D'Amico stuff or Sean Payton stuff where he was on Colin Cowherd's show, wasn't saying very nice things about a certain owner. He wouldn't name them, but we could all put two and two together and say, okay, that's Cal McNair that he's discussing here. Hmm. And then we have a report that was followed up by Colin Cowherd like 2 days later about how Sean Payton was so unimpressed with the Houston Texans themselves. Who would you rather have right now, Sean Payton or D'Amico?
That's such a funny question because John McClain last night on Kicking It with Kunkel on my show said, thank God we didn't get Sean Payton. Yes, he's a good coach, but he's a pain in the ass for everyone to deal with, which I think is something to be said in a market like this where it is a family-run business and it's tight-knit. Like, do you really want a guy that's going to come in and upheave everything and want to be in charge of everything? And I'm not saying that you don't want that. If it brings success, then hell, who cares, right? It's all about winning. But that is something to take into consideration. It's not a D'Amico versus Sean Payton as much as it is the hiring brass of Nick Caserio and D'Amico plus versus Sean Payton, because it's about getting the OC right. It's about building that offensive line. That's the question. They've turned the corner in culture. They've turned the corner in what this football team is and how they go out there and win games. It's a defensively led team. And Nick Caserio, for all the, hubbubaloo, if you will, about the offensive line, you got to give him a bunch of credit for the defense. And you got to give him a bunch of credit for what he got back for Deshaun Watson. Not every GM could do that, and he did that with great success. Mm-hmm. That flipped the franchise around. So that's huge. So you can't just write it off because it's not 100% perfect. I like the tandem of D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio. They're not going anywhere. It's a matter of getting that last little piece. It's like, if you bake 100 cookies and two are burned, you're not going to throw out all of them. You just try to figure out how you can get those other two to be looking good.
All right, how do the Houston Texans get the win this weekend against the Denver Broncos? What does it look like in a loss? We'll break that down next. Will Kunkel filling in for Jeremy Branham. I'm Joe George. It's ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. YouTube TV customers, get the sports you love on ESPN back because they are gone, including college football, college game day, Monday Night Football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Act now. Go to keepmynetworks.com to keep ESPN to get ESPN back.
ESPN 97.5.
This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
All right, right now, for the next 14 minutes on the ESPN Houston app, you can go there to register a pair of tickets to see the Cougs take on West Virginia this weekend. We got two pairs away we're going to give away on the app over the next 15 minutes, and then we'll give away one on the show about an hour from now. Will Kunkel filling in for Jeremy Branham alongside me, Joe George. Happy Halloween.
Are you...
Just you, Joe.
What are you dressed up as?
Today, nothing.
Hot guy summer.
Yesterday, I dressed up as the Bears SNL guys.
Ah, okay. They're Bears.
AKA, I had to do something last month.
As what?
The Bears SNL guys.
Oh, okay. Why did you just say Mike Ditka?
Yeah, because like it doesn't really look like Ditka, I feel like. It looks more just like the characters.
Oh, like, you kind of fit. I forget the actor's name, but the guy from Cheers?
Yeah. Yes. So it just looks more like them. The sweater's more accurate of SNL than it is of what Ditka would actually wear. So, I mean, I guess it can go either way. Not if you pick your choosy. Did you say something else, Brian?
No.
Oh, I thought I heard you. I thought I heard you there for a second. I thought it was in the background.
I did. You know what? It was my YouTube feed. Oh,
come on.
I heard it too, and I was like, "Wait, why does it sound like that?"
Amateur hour over here, Will. Come on, man.
you also forget to turn off your ringtone. Are we going to have that go off at some point?
You know what I have done 3 times in a row now on my show on YouTube is I've muted myself like 3 times in a row, and I'm like, "Are we not going to learn from this at all?
No,
we're just going to keep doing the same dumb thing."
It happens.
You almost swore during the Swarmcast this week, though.
I did. It was really close.
I actually did weeks ago, and you had to fix that.
Yeah, give me extra work.
Honestly,
man.
I heard that moment, and I thought you cursed and edited it.
No,
it didn't sound like you actually caught yourself.
I caught myself in real time. I was
proud
of myself.
Man, it didn't sound like it.
all right, so how do the Texans win this weekend? What's the recipe for the Texans to get the victory over the Broncos?
Here's the problem, is that the recipe is what they're bad at, and it's what makes you a good football team, and they haven't been able to do it all year, and that's protecting C.J. Stroud. Because, and yes, that's the recipe every week, but this week you have to do it, because if you don't, he might die. Because the Broncos have more sacks than anybody in the NFL by a wide margin. Their pressure rate is 6% higher than anybody else in the NFL as well. I think it's something like 45.9%, which is the most by a wide margin. So my point is they're exceptionally good at getting pressure on the quarterback and getting home to him and bringing him down. So if you're not able to protect C.J. Stroud and give him time, you're not going to be able to do anything. And that's the worry, is that we saw them have issues with any decent defensive line and defense. Not like they kind of put it together a little bit against the Seahawks, Rams, Buccaneers, or the Jaguars. They didn't at all. And Rams are a very good defense. The Buccaneers and Jaguars are fine. And now the Broncos come in town with a damn good defense. And they're really good at what you're really bad at.
Yeah, it feels very similar to Seattle at this point. It's just a team that's going to get after the quarterback. Mm-hmm. They're going to put a ton of pressures on it. They're going to make life challenging for C.J. Stroud. And I know when you look at, you know, pressure rates allowed and Pro Football Focus grades from last week, like, they're largely positive against San Francisco. Like, Arianta Arisuri didn't allow or only allow like one or two pressures in the entire game. He was fantastic against the 49ers. But the Broncos just bring a different level of heat at this point to the quarterback.
Consistently. Yeah. And they don't dial it up.
They do it with four guys.
Exactly.
That's a problem.
That means they have guys in coverage. Now, here's the good thing. They don't have Patrick Surtain, so now they're going to at least have to bracket Nico Collins or go one-on-one with them. And if they I assume they're going to double cover him or bracket coverage him, which is now going to allow some other guys to run free a little bit, hopefully. But do you have time to get to your second progression? Like, it's going to be a very interesting chess match, at least I hope, to watch.
Yeah, I mean, like, so last week, so Jeremy broke this down for us yesterday. So last week, they were bracketing those Pickens and letting, like, them go one-on-one with CeeDee Lamb.
Oh, the Broncos.
The Broncos were.
You know, I was so fascinated to watch how that game went out, how they, like, game-planned that game. And yeah, I was shocked that they allowed CeeDee to go one-on-one.
And so this week, you know, you get Nico Collins back. That's a positive. You get Christian Kirk back. Okay. I'm not going to call it a positive because, frankly, I think for the Texans to win this weekend, one of the things to me is you have to continue to use Jaden Higgins and Jalen Knoll as part of this offense. I think it's a mistake to all of a sudden Christian Kirk's back on this field and to go away with what's been working, specifically with Knoll. I really like what we've seen from him over the last two games, but Higgins had a great game last week. Those guys have to actively be involved in this offense. Braxton Berrios has to go back away, and Christian Kirk, to me, is below all three Iowa State receivers at this point.
What can't happen is you can't put in Kirk just because he's back.
Yeah.
Like, hey, here's your guaranteed allotted 47% of the snaps. That can't happen. You've got to roll with what's been working.
You put him below Hutch? Like, I know Hutch had a good game last week,
Kirk.
But
yeah, because I said below all three, obviously.
You did.
I think so.
That's a bit of a hot take.
They're different.
He's had one good game in his career.
I mean, two.
Two?
Christian,
when was the other
stop
one?
Stop traffic.
Well, last week was good.
Yeah. So, okay, what's the second one?
When he had two touchdowns this season against Baltimore? It's against Baltimore.
They had two touchdowns. That's fine.
But
that feels like an overreaction.
How many good games does Christian Kirk have with the Texans, Brian?
I'm making a bit of a back of the baseball card argument. I understand that. But it feels like an overreaction to say, well, Hutch had a good game, so let's just take away all of Christian Kirk's snaps and give it to Hutch.
I think it's more about Knoll, to be fair.
Yes, I was with you when the argument was about Knoll. Where you lost me was about with
Hutchinson.
Hutch.
That's fine. Christian Kirk's a largely nothing burger at this point. Like, I haven't been impressed with what we've seen from him this season. He's getting open in pockets, but I'm more excited about the younger guys on this team, specifically, again, Knoll and Higgins. Those guys have to have that active role, I think, in this offense for them to win this weekend. It'll make things easier for Nico. It should open up your run game a little bit. And we did see Woody Marks land on the injury report with a calf injury, but it sounds like he'll be okay for this weekend. So
better be.
It's just, I just don't want to see Christian Kirk have a high volume of snaps. Unfortunately, I think he will. I think it's
what number are you okay with, like percentage of snaps?
Like 35?
Yeah, I think I'd be okay a little higher than that, but I get where you're going with. Yeah.
Jokes aside, I think this is more about Nick Caley and the ability to scheme routes. Does it really matter if it's Kirk or Hutchinson or Knoll or Higgins? Like, neither one of them have an elite ability to do something that the other doesn't have. Sure. So it really comes down to what do you do to get them open, because they can all run routes fine and same, make catches and do like the basics of the job. Because if Nico Collins is taken out of the game, can you get them open? Just get any of them open. It doesn't really matter who.
Yeah. Nico can't get taken out of this game with Patrick Surtain missing.
Yeah, I agree with that. If they allow him to get taken out of the game, almost kind of quasi-intentionally of like allowing that double coverage to kind of be useless and just go one-on-one with your guys. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no. I think that changes, I guess, how I would phrase it, because what you're saying is more schematic from the Texans of trying to get them, or trying to get the one-on-one matchups and exploit those weak spots. But if Nico is just taken out of the game because he can't get open, that would be a little bit of a red flag to me with Patrick Surtain out.
And the Texans did get Dalton Schultz back at practice today, so he was out there. He had not practiced yet this week. Woody Marks was at practice, so those are both good signs. For this coming weekend, because not having Dalton Schultz out there, while I know he's not everyone's favorite player on the Texans at times, has been a reliable target for CJ. The other thing for me, what this comes down to, is you have to do things that you just haven't really accomplished much this season. That's converting well on third down, and that's also just, you know, converting in the red zone. That's something that they didn't do last week. They're not doing great on third down.
Don't even get in the
last red week
zone.
Was obviously great. They were 9 for 16 mm-hmm. last week, but the week before versus Seattle, they were 2 for 15. You got to find the middle ground. The verbiage we've been using a lot on Swarmcast is just be competent. That's what the Texans to win this weekend. You got to be competent on third down. The more you give Bo Nix and Sean Payton the ball by going 3 and out or not converting, you know, field goals to touchdowns, things like that, it's just going to make this game much harder. So that's a big ask, because they haven't done it much this season. Those things. But
to me though, the third down percentage kind of gets. I think the struggles get hidden by the third down percentage, because everyone points to the third down percentage, and I understand why, but a big part of why they've been so poor in third down percentage is because it's not third and three, it's third and eight.
Yeah.
And we saw that, especially in the Rams game and pretty much every other game that they've lost this year. They've never given themselves a chance to be a good third down team, because they can't protect C.J. Stroud. They have penalties. They can't run the ball effectively. And they put themselves in a situation where it's like 3rd and 7 at best. So, I mean, to me, that's can they run? Can they, you know, to be super cliche, can they stay ahead of the chains? And that would allow them to be a good third down team.
Yeah, and if they're not able to gain 3-4 yards on third down, that's where it comes into identity, because you don't know how you're going to gain the necessary 5-6 yards on first and second down to make third down short. And that's the problem, is that they're always kind of grabbing. It's like they're trying to catch butterflies out there. They're just trying to figure out what's working on that given drive or that given game. So I'm very interested to see it. And I've been saying all offseason that the offense needs to suck less. Now they just, like, yes, but now we can rephrase it a little bit. Just good enough. Mm-hmm. Just be good enough to allow the defense to do what they do.
Yeah. I mean, this is I like Bo Nix. I think he has been a little overhyped in the same breath. Just like some people are putting him in a category I don't think he necessarily belongs in. The thing about Bo Nix, though, is he will give you opportunities.
I'll say he's boomer bust.
Yeah, he will give you opportunities to take advantage, whether that's holding onto the ball too long, errant throws. Like, you will have an opportunity to take the ball away or get sacks in a big situation against the Broncos because while he's good, he's still younger. I mean, he's an old second-year quarterback, but, like, he still makes second-year NFL quarterback mistakes. So that's where this defense has to take advantage while they can because, you know, we saw what the Broncos did 2 weeks ago. They were down big, 16, 19, nothing, whatever it was, against the Giants, and they scored 33 points in the fourth quarter to win. So they can put up points in bunches. They have Cortland Sutton, who's a good weapon. Their running game, we saw R.J. Harvey explode a little bit last week. J.K. Dobbins has been good for them.
Third in the NFL in rushing yards. Third.
Not surprising.
634.
The best New Orleans Saints teams with Drew Brees, like, they all could run the ball in some capacity. So, like, you got to run it.
Low-key been a Texans weakness. We've seen it with especially the run up the gut. I mean, the Seahawks did that pretty well with Charbonnet and Ken Walker. Feels like everyone's done that to a degree against the Texans. So, I look at the Broncos, and I'm not overly fearful of their weapons compared to the talent on the Texans' defense. Like, you look at Sutton, you look at, you know, J.K. Dobbins, their overall talent. Like, well, the Texans have more talent on defense, but it'd be interesting to see if that continues to be a weakness for the Texans running right up the gut, because if it is, then that unlocks everything else.
And they haven't gotten any pressure up the middle from the guys. It's Will Anderson and it's Danielle Hunter, and they've been good, but they're not getting that pass rush all over the defensive line like they did last year for whatever reason. And to your point about the rushing attack, they've got the most rushing yards over expected this season with 210 in the NFL. What the Broncos do well at, they do the best in the NFL. That's where it's going to be interesting. And that's where you have a team that has an identity. They get after the quarterback and they run the ball really, really well. And then Bo Nix is able to have success when they run the ball well, which they do game in and game out. And that's another team in the division, the Colts, why they're having so much success. Jonathan Taylor might be the MVP of the season. And if it's not, maybe it's Daniel Jones, the player of the year, because they can run the ball well. The Texans don't do that well in order to set anything up. Like, football's not that complicated. It's always the same way you try to win games. It's protect the quarterback, run the ball, get after the quarterback.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a break here. Let's talk about what we saw last night. Lamar Jackson returned to the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens were fined officially, so Mike Florio can rest easy and be happy that they were punished. We'll talk about the firing that we saw in Miami, not the one I thought we were going to see, but someone did get fired. We'll get to that in all the NFL action coming up next year with Joe George, Will Kunkel, and Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, but before we go to the break, it's time for me to tell you once again about the greatness that is Burger Chan. We're spoiled here. Their restaurant is literally right downstairs. I can hop in the elevator, go from floor four to the ground floor. It's right downstairs here at 5353 West Alabama. And I've been enjoying their great food since I started working here for ESPN 97.5 in 2022. But please, join me, join Lance, enjoy everyone here, and try out the best burger place in town. And really, that's kind of the thing. It is the best burger place in town, but there's so much more than a burger place. They don't only make great burgers. I actually tried out their fried fish sandwich for the first time last week. It's a fried mahi-mahi put on the bun of your choice. I got it on a sweet sourdough, but they also have brioche buns, if you prefer. Comes with in-house made tartar sauce, in-house made coleslaw. Everything they put on the burger there is made in-house. It was really, really good. Didn't regret passing on getting a burger at all. And you have plenty of time to try that sandwich, the burger, anything else they have, because they've extended their hours. They used to be closed on Mondays. They're now open for lunch service on Mondays. And dinner service now open Wednesday through Saturday until 9 o'clock. But pro tip, quickly, you should find out for yourself how great their sandwiches are on Mondays in particular, because for the rest of this football season, Burger Chan is partnering with us for Victory Mondays. So when the Texans beat the Broncos this weekend, stop by Burger Chan on Monday, and you'll get a free side with your entree. Order a burger, chicken sandwich, that fried fish sandwich I mentioned, their hot dog, falafel, or even their breakfast sandwich as well, served all days. Those are great as well. You can get a free side of fries, sweet potato fries, tots, fried cheese curds, or curly fries with your order. Just stop by on Monday after the Texans beat the Broncos. Mention my name, Brian. Mention ESPN 97.5, or just say Go Texans, and you'll get a free side with your entree. Burger Champ, best burgers in the city. Find them at 5353 West Alabama, and see their full menu at BurgerChanHTX.com.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Pocket the phone.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
YouTube TV customers, get the sports you love on ESPN back, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Act now. Go to keepmynetworks.com to get ESPN back. All right, Will, let's see here.
Joe.
Word is coming down from Adam Schefter. So Travis Hunter did not tear his ACL. It is intact. He's going to go through additional testing to figure out how long he'll be sidelined for, but he is...
Sounds like an Aaron Wilson report.
Yeah, he is placed on the injured reserve for at least 4 weeks at this point. So Travis Hunter will not be playing the next time the Houston Texans face the Jaguars in 2 weeks.
The Texans, for all the bad football they've played, they've gotten a lot of good luck. I mean, they haven't seen Lamar Jackson, half of the Ravens. Mm-hmm. They're about to see a banged up Broncos defense. They saw a really banged up 49ers team. They're about to see a Travis Hunterless Jaguars team. Time to take advantage, boys.
Yeah, and then they play the Titans.
They just suck.
The dumpster fire of the NFL that is the Titans. Boys
right. I'm scared to see what happens with the Colts by the time they run into
it. Oh, speaking of, can we see if Seth the Flow has any bangers for us today, Brian?
That's I'll
definitely look.
Are you familiar with Seth the Flow?
Is that who that is?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, of course.
I'm just making sure.
No, he's wildly hilarious.
Yeah, he's great. He's dropped some bangers this season. Some disappointing
Are weeks. They not all the same exact?
Yeah, but it's
there's
just,
one line that's different.
Yeah.
What he says, like the team they're playing?
Yeah, and like some dig at them. Like he said, like
the give them Edgar Allan woes when they play the Ravens in the preseason.
It's great.
It's just that one line that's changed out.
Speaking of the Baltimore Ravens.
What's the line this week?
I found it. Hold on. Let me pull it up.
Okay. I mean, well, yeah, we got to find it first. I mean, I was thinking about the P and Seth for Halloween.
All right, you ready?
Yep, go ahead.
Tonight. This is our Colts. This is our team. This is our Colts, whether win or lose, we love them. For the shoe, beat the Steelers, let's break Rodgers' back. This is our team.
Damn.
Go Colts.
You wanna...
That's aggressive, Seth.
Yeah, you want to paralyze
the
dude?
That was the most physically threatening I've heard one of his,
And if you're going to do it, like take a shot at his Achilles, please.
Let's snap the Rodgers' Achilles. That would
have
been funny.
I was going to say, does he have a history with his back?
Not
let's,
that I know.
Let's retire the old man. Like, I don't know.
Damn, let's break his back?
Will I get canceled?
Bro.
If I do.
I feel like you shouldn't finish the rest of
my own Seth the Flow. No. Remake for when the Texans take on the Colts.
No,
I think it'd be fine.
You will be encouraged. You will be beloved. You will be a hero.
All right.
Are you going to dress up like him? Because he does face paint and everything.
I'll do it.
Which, okay.
By the way, it looks like he does it when he's like having a seizure. It's like all over his damn face.
I will. I'll take care of that when they play the Colts in a couple of weeks.
And then
if the Texans win, I'll do it again for the last game of the season. If they lose, we'll make Jeremy do it.
Are you good? Yes. I don't think Jeremy will do it.
All right, we'll find
good luck with that.
I agree with that statement.
We'll find a wager that we can, you know, make Jeremy lose.
We're going to rig it?
We're going to rig it.
Okay. Yeah.
We're going to go full Chauncey Billups in this house. Okay? And we're going to rig.
We're getting the mafia involved.
We're going to get the mafia involved. We're going to rig the contest. And we'll make sure that Jeremy doesn't get a shot to win that one. We'll make him do the Seth the Flow for week 18.
I didn't know that was his name.
Are you going to threaten violence against the Colts players like Seth the Flow just did for Aaron Rodgers?
No, probably not. That seems a little
break extreme. Daniel Jones back?
That has to be one of the meanest things that dude's ever said in his life.
Yes, for sure.
Damn.
It's not even close. All right, so
just don't make any Jim Mercer jokes. Let that one live for a little bit.
Yeah. No, we're going to pass on that one. All right, Lamar Jackson last night, 4 touchdowns in his return. 2 to Mark Andrews, 1 to something named Charlie Kolar. Rashad Bateman caught a touchdown. We saw Derrick Henry rush for 119 yards. In last night's game, we saw every single reason why the Baltimore Ravens have and are still the favorite to win the AFC North last night, Will.
That's crazy. Like, what their record is and where their Steelers are, and they're still the favorite. I mean, that's nuts. But obviously, that's how banged up they were in anticipation of them being healthy and going forward. They're obviously a different team. But the man of the Dolphins, a dumpster fire, dude. They are tough to watch.
Yeah, they're a mess, man. So we saw this morning Chris Greer, the general manager for the Dolphins, gets fired. Mike McDaniel is going to stay on as the coach through at least the end of the season, which I think is really interesting because that, to me, like, you can't rule out that that is not the organization looking at this roster and saying the roster is the problem. Mike McDaniel is not the problem. Now, I think in the end, ultimately, like, he will get fired, and they just don't want to go with an interim coach at this point in the season. But, I mean, to fire one guy who'd been with the organization, I didn't know this. Chris Greer had been there since 2000.
Yeah, in some role.
He's the GM since 2016. So to move on from him, like, you're acknowledging that things are really bad. So I'm surprised we didn't just see both guys get fired today. But ultimately, like, I think we will down the road.
I mean, that roster kind of imploded in and of itself from a personality standpoint, and the guys that demanded trades, that wanted to get out there, that were high maintenance, and just issues that they, when they lost them, whether it was Jalen Ramsey, Christian Wilkins, like, they lost dudes that they're not going to be successful without them. And so I don't, man, and then offensively, I don't know that Mike McDaniel's shtick, not that it's a shtick, but his personality, when things go wrong, is that somebody... Like, you, when things go well, you can get through and get over anything. Like, anything's fine. It's cool. It's funny. It's neat. It's endearing. When it's not going well, it's like you start rolling your eyes. And I wonder if he's lost the team. And I just don't, I don't know. But it, you have a lot of talent, a lot of speed, and you're not able to do much with it. But I also think Tua's kind of that guy. He's a boom or bust type of guy, like a Bo Nix player. If he's got it that game, awesome. If he doesn't have it that game, forget about it.
Yeah, I can't believe like what we saw at the end of the first half last night where they're trying to get a Hail Mary and he's getting sacked. I just don't know how that's possible for this point for Tua at this point in the career. Like, just get the ball into the air. And if he's worried he can't get it there, then for a play, put in Zach Wilson. Just to, like, throw it down the field, at least.
That cannon.
But, like, you're in critical situations. He's throwing the ball behind the line of scrimmage. So I think it's more – the Dolphins know they're in a really tough situation.
They're toast.
They owe Tua a lot of money, so you're going to have a new GM. I think eventually you're going to end up with a new coach. And I think you're going to end up with a new quarterback, depending on what this draft class looks like. Now, unfortunately, for all these teams that, you know, need quarterbacks, all the best quarterbacks in college football this year are underclassmen and can all come back, from Ty Simpson to Dante Moore, like – these Mendoza, Indiana, they all have eligibility left. So if they wanted to go back to college to make money there and not be a New Orleans Saint or a Miami Dolphins player, or just wanted to wait another year and get more college football experience, because we're seeing the best quarterbacks in the NFL, these guys have lots of reps in college, like Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels. I mean, Drake May has a good amount of college snaps. He has two full seasons as being a starting quarterback in the NFL. Like, the guys who come out and have less than 15 starts in college football typically aren't that good in the NFL because of the learning curve. So it puts the Dolphins in a tough spot. But, yeah, I just feel like my biggest takeaway last night watching the game was, yeah, the Ravens are going to win the division. And you look at their schedule coming up, it's not challenging. So they've won two straight games. Next week they play J.J. McCarthy and the Vikings. Then they play the Browns and they play the Jets. Then they play their first of two games within 3 weeks against the Bengals. Assuming Joe Burrow's not back for at least that first one, they're going to play Joe Flacco. And then they play the Steelers. I won't pick against the Ravens at minimum until December 14th. And that's if Joe Burrow's playing. And I still will probably pick the Ravens in that one.
You said something that's going to make me shift gears and topics. But if you're coming out of college, and obviously the bad teams, they pick first. The NFL has pulled off this amazing, like, trick of BS where it's a league of parity. It is so far from a league of parity. Look at the bottom of the league. Like, where would you want to get drafted out of the options of the Dolphins, Jets, Browns, Titans, Raiders, Giants? Commanders are better. You know, they have their guy, obviously. The Saints are a mess. The Falcons are a damn disaster. The Cardinals... like, there are a lot of teams that are on the, quote, barrel, the bottom of the barrel. Like, that bottom of the barrel is really big. There's a lot of them out there. So if you're making money and you may not be a great NFL quarterback, you're not coming out. And if you do, you're going to some really bad, bad organizations that haven't seen success ever or in decades.
Yeah, frankly, like, to me, like, the one team at the bottom where if I was, you know, Ty Simpson, for example, and was like, okay, do I want to run it back for another year at Alabama, or do I want to head to the NFL? I think the Saints is the best one to land at because I like their coaching staff.
Their salary cap issue, is that close to being done?
It's got to be close.
They were like, I mean, they kicked the can down the road to a degree that was embarrassing, and now it's bit them in the ass hard.
Yeah, but you have Kellen Moore as your OC. You have not Joe Brady.
He's a Buffalo.
The Chargers head coach from last year. I can't remember his name right now.
Staley?
Oh, Brandon Staley. Yeah, Brandon Staley.
Couple years ago, yeah.
He's their defensive coordinator now. You know, so like you have a good coaching staff, I think, in place for the long haul.
They have seen success. But it's also like that was a Drew Brees success. Or
yes.
Can they have success outside of having one of the greats?
But like Kellen Moore, I mean, he won Super Bowl, obviously. And, you know, Brandon Staley early on, it was good with the Chargers, kind of fell apart. But he is a good DC. We've seen that in the NFL play out. And my guess is he'll eventually get another job. He won't be like, Spagnuolo and some of these older guys who can't get work in the NFL as a head coach. So I think the Saints is probably the best job or best position to land of all of them at this point. Maybe Arizona, if they're going to move on. It looks like Jacoby Brissett's going to start on Monday night
again?
For them. Yeah, because it looks like Kyler's still too banged up. Jeez. I don't think it's just the benching at this point, but it feels like we're going to see one more week of Jacoby Brissett. But that's a team that I've got my eye on for another potential quarterback change. I think this offseason.
Man, I wonder, who are they going to go get, though? That's the thing. Like, Kyler Murray's certainly good enough to be good enough. But that's the issue, is when you have a good enough quarterback, you're never bad enough and you're never good enough to actually win games to get another one. And that's another spot where Nick Caserio deserves credit. He went out and got C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson. I know some people may not love the trade that they made to get Will Anderson, but I mean, that's a position in a guy. I think you do it every single time, right?
Yeah, I think at this point, like, it's more just like it's got to be sarcasm at this point. Like, normally the guy sitting in that chair, I don't think he really believes that the Texans should have not drafted Will Anderson with how good of a player he is.
That guy.
He just likes to point out that you could have had Jahmyr Gibbs and Sam Laporta.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So if that's the game we're playing, if we go back and be like, well, if we didn't take this guy, we could have gotten that guy and that guy and this guy, and then maybe also we could have moved up to get this guy. Okay. Fine, but it's not like they got a bum and they had a complete whiff. The complete whiffs are on the offensive line over the handful of years. But let's give credit. Ariante Ursary looked really good against the 49ers. This could be a staple game for Ursary going forward.
Yeah, it's a big one because I want to just see, can he replicate? And look, because like he deserves grace with how long it takes him to develop. I feel like he gets lumped in with the other guys on the offensive line.
Bro, he's played 7 games.
Exactly.
Like, what are we doing?
But he gets lumped in with what you're seeing happen at the left guard position and center and right guard. Like, Ed Ingram, I know, has mostly been good this season. But, like Andrews has been, I think, kind of an up-and-down guy. But Ariante deserves some grace here from people that, like, he has to develop. You're asking a rookie to play one of the hardest positions to play in the NFL, and he's done a fine job so far.
He has not been the reason. I guess he has been at times. It's been up and down, to be fair. Now, I'll say something that will probably be, get some fans pissed off, and some fans might even say, you know what, it's about time someone said it. But this offensive line is not great. But the way Nick Caserio went about it, it's better than last year, and he's kind of pieced together some really not good players to create a competent-ish offensive line.
Yeah.
For what I know, that's not the goal. That's not what you want. But I think next, because no one's going anywhere, by the way. If it falls apart for Nick Caley, he's the one guy that might not be back next year. If there's no consistency on the back end of the season, whether the playoffs happen or not, like, D'Amico's not going anywhere. Nick Caserio is not going anywhere. Next year in the draft, that's when Caserio is going to be able to build this offensive line. You would think.
Yep.
Like, I think coming into this year, they wanted to shed Laremy Tunsil because of his mindset and his desire to not be physical, not be a run blocker, and his lack of leadership. And then they filled in the gaps poorly, but better than last year. Like, Shaq Mason was a disaster last year. Who was their center that was Juice Scruggs playing at center did
or
not
Patterson.
Work out well. Or Patterson. So he's done an okay job at doing it dumpster diving, if you will, respectfully.
Yeah.
Next year's when you really are going to see, hopefully, then build on it.
Yeah, a franchise left tackle in the draft would be great. Sorry, Ariante. I guess you're playing right tackle, and Titus is at right guard, potentially. All right, well, we'll take a break here. We got a question here.
Just real quick. Yeah. They do rank 20th in the NFL for pressure, QB pressure allowed. Last year, they were bottom of the barrel. So
is that accurate?
They've gone up quite a bit.
That's mean, hey,
for whatever it's worth.
Baby steps. Baby steps. Exactly. All right. Let's power rank the 7 days of the week. We'll do that next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. YouTube TV customers, get the sports you love on ESPN back, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Act now. Go to keepmynetworks.com to get ESPN back.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's Jeremy and Joe.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, back here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5, Will Kunkel for Jeremy Branham. I'm Joe George. B-Mac here with us as always. It's a Friday.
Great song.
Talked a lot of Texans so far. It's Halloween. Happy Halloween.
Go Texas.
Got to get home as soon as the show's over. Make sure Mario can...
I mean, shoot, the roads are going to be empty. Coming down here, 610 was a damn disaster at 240.
It always is.
I hate... Hey, John Whitmire, Mr. Mayor, blow the thing up. Yeah. Blow it all up.
It's not great.
Start from scratch.
Shots.
I mean...
Explosives. You can run.
Yeah. I know we're supposed to, you know, as a Christian, I'm supposed to love people. I want to meet the guy that designed that. I got words.
And
I got
questions.
Thoughts.
At least questions.
Yeah.
What the
hell were you thinking?
But since it's Friday, this question's been on the rundown for a little bit, and Jeremy's not here, so I figured maybe today's
Thanks
a good
for the
day
time, Jeremy.
To get to it. So, but now, Brian, I don't know if you or Jeremy put this on the rundown.
It was Jeremy.
Okay. Oh, so we're doing this without him. Okay.
We are, yeah.
So we're going to power rank the 7 days of the week, Will. 1 through 7. But I have a question.
I think there's a pretty clear number one, by the way.
Are we going football season or non-football season?
Oh, that's a great question.
Let's say if we're actually ranking like the upcoming week.
The upcoming
this
week?
This
okay.
upcoming week.
All right, here we go.
So
all
football
right.
season.
Number for me, I'll go first. Saturday?
That's my number one.
Because it's football season. Sunday?
Agreed.
Friday?
Agreed.
Monday? Because of Monday Night Football. It stays on the list. It survives.
I'd go Thursday.
Okay. You know what my problem, my list is? I only have 6 days on here. Saturday, Sunday, Friday, Thursday.
What day did you leave off?
Thursday. I left off Thursday. Monday.
I don't even know if that's a math
the worst
joke
day is
or,
no, I overlooked Thursday.
I mean, I felt a little bad for putting the math joke into the Wheel of Bits open, but now I don't.
No, I just overlooked it. Saturday, Sunday, Friday, Thursday, Monday, Wednesday, worst day of the week, Tuesdays.
Tuesday's the worst day.
Yeah,
of the week.
Tuesday. Yes. I think 100%. Wednesday, Tuesday are the bottom.
Yes.
Those are the bottom.
Because Wednesday, you're closer to the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Hump like, day?
You can see it. It's hump day. Mm-hmm. You got funny commercials to play, funny mm-hmm. sound
There's
bites.
No NFL, though.
There's no NFL. But you're closer to the weekend than you were
there
on
Tuesday.
There's
some action, though, this time of year.
Like there's light
Great
at the
call.
Tunnel.
Yes. Tuesday is the worst day.
Yeah, you can watch a little Akron versus Miami of Ohio. You can get that going.
Let's go.
I don't do it as much.
You don't watch Maction on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays?
Not really.
You
not
don't
as
gamble?
Much as I
you don't
probably
gamble?
Should.
You're not a gambler.
I am, but
overs, baby.
Yeah,
Maction overs.
But like now, the Maction's dying. We're losing the life of Maction.
Tuesday's the worst day by far.
Like Northern Illinois is going to the Mountain West Conference, I think. In football.
Well, the Mountain West is Mountain West has now become the Pac-12, and so Northern Illinois is going to go to the
I think so
dilapidated Mountain West.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I think Tuesday to me is at the bottom. Brian, is your list?
Yeah, my list was Saturday 1, Sunday 2, Friday 3, Thursday 4, Monday 5, then Tuesday, Wednesday. Throw them up in any order; doesn't matter. They're the same.
So you guys aren't a Sunday scaries type of person.
Not
Sunday
football
scaries.
Season. Not
you know like. Sunday at like 5 p.m. You're like, oh my God, tomorrow's Monday.
Oh no, not in this job.
Exactly.
Yeah, not in this job.
Like jokes aside, I love what I do.
Yeah.
Or did, you know, over at Fox. I loved coming in here whenever I can. So like Monday's not a bad day. I love Monday, but Saturday's number one. I'll go Sunday number two, Sunday fun day. You got a nice little fun little hangout day drink. Call it quits early. Go to bed. And then I'll go Friday 3 and then Monday, Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday.
Okay. Let's see. 4818 goes Sunday, Saturday, Friday, Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Monday.
So he just went in reverse the worst order.
Except for Monday as worst.
He
day
just
of the
started
week.
At Sunday and just went in reverse.
Yeah.
That means you hate your job. Get another job.
Now,
bro.
I will say in the non-football season, okay, I've got Sunday 4th. Because yeah. I got to go to work the next day. No, I like see, I my like, job.
I like this.
But okay. Like I know the weekend's
well, you,
over.
What, you dread coming into this job, Joe?
No,
what
it's
are you
just,
trying to say?
The weekend's over still.
Like, yeah, but what we do is not really work.
Yeah, but I like to go out. I don't want to be super hungover.
You can still go
day.
Out Sunday fun day. Like, yeah. What? There is nothing better. Like football or not,
I don't know.
I got like, news for you, Joe. You could come into this job hungover and still do it.
Not with Jeremy.
I've seen it.
Jeremy's been like, give me a
here's the thing
hangover,
about
Jeremy?
When football season ends, I'm ready for football season to be over, honestly. And Sunday is nice and like freeing. You can start to do other things. I don't know if you guys are outdoorsmen, but you can go for hikes. You can go for bike rides. You can do other things and hang out outside and have a great Sunday fun day in that manner without being tied to a TV.
Yes. But it also makes me miss football. I have like FOMO.
Yeah, but then when you come back, you're ready to roll.
I know, but
and
it's
then
already,
you get March Madness.
But we're already halfway over like, at this point.
College,
yeah, but the best days.
Basketball.
But Sunday's always the last day of March Madness, which always makes me look sad. Because like, then we got to wait a week to
Monday's
the next set of games.
Last.
So I go non-football season, Saturday, Friday, Thursday, then Sunday, then Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday. So I just move Sunday down just a little bit outside of football season.
I will say that the weekdays are interchangeable outside of Friday when it's not football season. Because the idea of like great days is that you have something to look forward to, something to go to, something to kind of entertain you at the end of the day, if you will. And that doesn't really happen when there's no football as much.
Yeah, it's just no football.
And then you're a Cubs fan. They stink.
Maybe they made the playoffs.
They won a playoff series this year, Will.
They want to play in.
Playoffs.
Playoff series asterisk.
It's a playoff series.
It's a play-in.
It's three games.
It's a play-in.
No. Nope,
it's a three-game series.
Nope.
It's a play-in.
That's
would you rather your favorite team win the play-in game in the tournament or what you just did as a Cubs fan?
As a Cubs fan?
You know, as a Cubs fan.
Yeah. Well, I've never seen a college basketball team I root for play in the play-in tournament.
Who do you root for?
Yeah.
Do you root for Notre Dame?
No.
Northwestern.
I root for the Salukis, Southern Illinois.
On purpose?
Mm. Yeah. That's where I grew up.
On purpose? Like in Whitsack?
I don't know. I mean, like that. Were you ordered?
No, I was
court ordered.
I was born in Carbondale, so I grew up watching the Salukis, and but they're a D2 football team, so I don't keep up with it at all.
It's like I went my undergrad at St. Lawrence University in New York, and it's like they're D3, but
yeah.
What the hell are you going to cheer for? So then that's why I went to Northwestern so I could find a team to root for.
Yeah, but like Notre Dame, I've just never gotten into Notre Dame basketball.
I feel for guys that went to school where they don't have major sports.
Yeah,
they don't have
sucks.
An affiliation.
Yeah.
When I was working in Ohio, I was in Toledo and covered Bowling Green and Toledo and then on the outskirts, Michigan and Ohio State. So you would go to the Toledo game to cover it, and everyone there was wearing Michigan or Ohio State gear for the later game if they were in the later days. If it was 11 a.m., it was
so
empty.
So strange.
Yeah, so you would go wearing your actual team, but then you'd kind of go watch where you were, but then you go back to your dorm room and watch your favorite team.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, no, I definitely, like, if I could do a do-over, even though it led me to my career and moving to Houston, the college I went to, I do wish I would have gone to a big school.
Yeah. Or at least a school that's got a one relevant sports team, whatever that looks like.
Yeah.
You have to, because it's where you, I mean, dude, when Northwestern makes the basketball tournament or is in the Big Ten championship game, it's the most fun thing ever. Like, you're all in. It's a blast.
The nice thing, though, is that if Notre Dame ever really sucks, I could just bail on them, too. I would never do that.
Think Marcus Freeman goes to LSU?
You're a Fairweather fan?
All right, we're going to break on that question. Asking me if Marcus Freeman's going to LSU.
What do you think?
He's not going to LSU. No one wants to work for that lunatic governor. that guy's a disaster. We'll talk about him a little bit later in the show as well. All right, let's get back to the Texans here a little bit. Deadline is on Tuesday. Buy or sell, make your call. Right now, YouTube TV customers get the sports you love on ESPN back, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Act now. Go to keepmynetworks.com to get ESPN back.
ESPN 97.5.
When your furnace or air conditioner quits, you need it fixed fast. This is Dennis Sullivan, president of CARE Heating and Cooling. Our technicians are paid to fix your HVAC system, not sell you a new one. We show up on time, diagnose the problem, and get you comfortable again. without the high-pressure sales pitch. It's our commitment to honesty and craftsmanship that helped us win the Lennox Partner of the Year Award and a BBB Torch Award for Ethics last year. So, call Care Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust.
Breaking apartment news. The Champion people, you know, the people with the good apartments, bring you River Park of Dublin with this amazing deal.
No rent until 2026. Live in one of the coolest places in the city, right by Bridge Park, and you will not pay rent until next year.
I don't believe it.
I lie a lot, but not about this.
River Park of Dublin. Great location, great amenities, and now a great special. Okay, now go to livewithchampion.com. 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 Apartment people, Champion, the trusted name in Columbus Living, brings you the District of Berkshire.
Man, it would be fun to live there, right by Tanger Outlet Malls. Oh my God, great location too, getting to and from Columbus, and a great deal right now.
Free rent until next year. Free rent until next year.
He ain't lying. Move in now. You don't pay rent until next year.
The District at Berkshire. Available now at livewithchampion.com. That's livewithchampion.com. That's livewithchampion.com.